Hi, welcome to Thomas Anonymous with Tommy Natoli. That's me. Today's show, I have birthed for you Chapter 22.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream?
But first, some morning announcements. Remember those in school? Yeah, it really has nothing to do with school. It just kind of fell out of my face. I want to talk about the show real quick, you guys. I'm really sorry. I'm a week late. I was supposed to have this episode out last week, but obviously that didn't happen. And so we're here now this week because creating content is hard. Actually, the content part wasn't hard. It's just the actually doing it part that's hard for me. Like, I had the whole episode ready to go last week, but it actually takes me getting my meat sack in front of a microphone and doing it. So yeah, sorry I'm late. Also, apologies because I think on the premiere episode of season 2, I said, oh, there's 5 chapters left. Turns out I was totally wrong and there were 4 chapters left. So including today's episode, including chapter 22, Welcome to Hollywood, What's Your Dream? We have 2 episodes left. There's 2 chapters left, I should say, left in the book, whatever, the story, the series, the whatever. There's 2 episodes left, you guys. I don't know what's happening after that, and neither do you. We're in it together. So that is what's up with the show. 2 episodes left. I'm super excited. I have to go through my notes to see what else I was gonna talk to you about. I keep hitting the microphone, and I apologize for that. Oh, well, my cell phone's in here. I didn't know that was available. Great. Good to know. I just bought a house, you guys. Just kidding. I got a hospital bill. It sure did feel like a house, though. So here's a little life lesson for you. If you don't have insurance and you go to the emergency room, you'll then get a bill for $12,000. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And then if you're like me, you'll go through the whole financial screening and get yourself approved that you're poor. And then they will be so kind to bring the balance down to $2,000. And then you will continue to not pay it because fuck hospital bills. Just thought I'd open with that. I've been watching the new Queer Eye on, well, it's not new, it's in like season 2 now, but Queer Eye on Netflix. I like that they took Queer Eye for the straight guy out. It's now just Queer Eye! Exclamation, Queer Eye. And I was resistant to that show. Well, I'm resistant to all makeover shows because honestly, in every single makeover show, I feel like I could be the person they're making over. Like every time in a makeover show, they show you the person's like current wardrobe and it's always like the same clothes I have on, which is like a Target t-shirt and basketball shorts. That's all I ever wear. And so yeah, I'm resistant to the makeover shows because part of me feels like, oh man, I'm horrible. But I just did it. I just dove right into the Queer Eye and I totally love it. Of course, I'm watching episodes. I'm like tearing up like, oh my God. But here's what I don't like. Why do they have to have every like cliche of a gay guy on there? I get it. Like, that's fine. But like they have the fashion gay and the design gay and the food and wine gay. And like, I want to know, where's the out of shape snarky gay? He's right here. That's what I'm telling you. He's standing right here, right now. So Netflix, call me. Because you need an out-of-shape, snarky gay guy. I was telling that to somebody, and they were like, well, what would that guy do? And I was like, easy. Go around and call everything stupid. And then I'd offer to get everyone high. I have a lot to offer the world, you guys. I wouldn't be helpful at all, but I think I'd be entertaining. I was watching that show. The reason I even bring this show up was because one of the episodes they were talking about if they want to have kids, and one of the gay guys, the gay guy with the silver streak in his head, like the British guy or whatever, he's cute, he's fun, whatever. But he said, I really want to have kids because I want to teach someone how to cook. Like, that's not a reason to have kids. You don't want to have kids. It sounds like you want a YouTube channel. So please don't put that out. Like, don't make, because then you're making all us gay people look like we just want to adopt kids because we want to, like, have a YouTube channel. Like, that's not, no. You should want to do more to the world than teach someone how to fucking cook. All right, so that's my problem with that. What else is new? Oh, I hate people, but that's not really new. So I hate normal people. Well, I don't hate you. I mean, let me try to clear this up before I totally insult you. I hate people, all right? I'm not going to apologize for that. And I hate, when I mean people, what I mean is I hate normal people. Like, I hate non-artists, people who are not performers, people who are not writers, people who are not an artist in any way, shape, or form. Those are what I call like the sleeping people. Those are the walking dead people. Those are the people who are just like, I'm here, I'm living life, I'm boring. So I don't like those people because they don't know what's interesting. They don't know how to tell a story. Like, whenever one of those people is like, oh, I have the funniest story, that means they have a long-winded story with too many uninteresting details. And then those people get mad at me because, like, while they're telling me a story, I have 21 questions. I have 51 questions. I'm like, was it a red dress or was it a skirt? Was it a blazer? Was it a jacket? Did she walk across the room? Did she strut across the room? I have questions. I need answers. And it's irritating. And I get that. But, like, you have to understand the reason I'm interrupting your story with questions is because I'm trying to suck the good out. You'll be going on and telling a story, and then I'll be like, oh, is that the day you fell down the stairs? And they'll be like, yeah, I'm getting to that part. It's like, no, fucking get to that part. That's the part you need to start at. Ugh, it's a stupid gripe, but I have it. And now, you know, now I'm just mean to people. From now on, when someone says, I have the funniest story for you, I'm like, sounds like you need a journal. Let's go down to Marshall's and get you a notebook. I know, I mean, but I'm not apologizing for that because you know what? If you can't tell a story, then you shouldn't be telling a fucking story. All right? You need to get a notebook, write that story down, edit it, figure out the good parts, and then come back to me and tell me. All right? I don't need your long-winded fucking diary entries. What's this about? I'm just going through my open mic notes, basically, you guys. Sorry. And then I have some more Gold Star Gay. So you remember the chapter I ranted about Gold Star Gays? I'm putting more of that. I've been doing more of that. I've been trying to, like, condense it down. Basically, like, I'm still mad about the Gold Star Gays. Because you're dividing the gay community. It's one of those many, many things in the gay community that separates us from each other. And by saying, like, oh, I'm a Gold Star Gay. By the way, if you are listening to this and you don't know what a Gold Star Gay is, I don't know how you are listening to this right now. But anyway, if you, for some reason, didn't listen to that chapter, a Gold Star Gay is a gay guy that has never slept with a woman. So he is a Gold Star because he's perfect. And that's my problem right there, is that you've set the standard that that's perfection, that that's a perfect gay guy. So basically, you have all the perfect gay guys in one group, like, oh, we've never had sex with the girls. And then you've got everyone else in the other corner going, oh, we have. Like, it's just not, like, it basically makes us all feel like we're not pure blood gays. You know, like, we're just the gross mud blood gays. It's bullshit. I hate it so much. And, you know, and when you think about Gold Star, what do you think about? I think about being a kid. I think about getting those little stars for your papers or, like, the chart on the wall. Gold Star is, like, number one, you know, it's like the best. So basically, you've made yourselves within our community better than others, and it makes you a dick. I also hate when, like, Gold Star gays are like, oh, disgusted by vagina, like, oh, vagina. Like, I'm sorry, you've never been with a woman. That doesn't make you a Gold Star. That makes you a coward. Okay, I'm fucking brave. I went face first into Mandy's vagina, and it did smell like onions, all right? But I was brave, and I did it. I also didn't even know that the smell was onions until, like, 6 months later when I was working at Pizza Hut Express, and then I was slicing onions, and I thought, oh, that's Mandy's vagina. So, anyway, I also hate when gay guys try to say that vaginas smell like fish. Like, again, first of all, when was the last time your face was in a vagina? Thank you, that's what I thought. It hasn't been. And second of all, vaginas don't smell like fish. Can we please clear this up right now? Vaginas don't smell like fish. They smell like Italian subs. And men, don't laugh right now because you know what? You need to keep yourself clean too. Nobody wants to go down on a jar of pickles. Yep. Basically, I think I'm not at all hiding this. I'm super fucking jealous of Gold Star Gays. I am jealous of Gold Star Gays because somehow they managed to grow up and ignore all of society and culture. Like, I don't know how they were able to do it. I'm jealous of them. I'm jealous that they were able to be so strong in who they are. And so that's my story about that. What else? I know I'm really killing you guys today with the rants, but you're just gonna have to deal with me. So the other night I watched Steel Magnolias. You guys know that movie. My colors are blush and bashful. Drink your juice, Shelby. We all know it. If you don't know it, again, don't know why you're listening to this podcast because, yeah, I just can't. If you have not seen Steel Magnolias, you need to finish the episode of this week. Finish this episode and immediately go watch Steel Magnolias. Because, all right, I just... Little things bother me. It's always the little things. And here's what bothered me about Steel Magnolias, which I've seen a million times, but I never noticed this. When you watch that movie, the opening credits and the closing credits all of the fonts on all of the credits, all of the fonts on all of the credits for the actors and everybody from the grip to the star to everyone, they're all lowercase letters. All lowercase letters! And that bothers me. Why does it bother you, tell me? I'll tell you why it bothers me. Sally Field, Julia Roberts, Dolly Parton. These are living legends, okay? You cannot lowercase Shirley MacFucking Klein. I'm sorry. That is rude. Other than that, the movie was great. No, I noticed a couple other things about the movie I never did before. I didn't realize that Sally Field also had two sons in the movie. Like, there's two sons. There's Shelby, and then there's two brothers that nobody ever talks about. They didn't get barely any screen time. I feel like at least for the funeral, they should have got more screen time. Speaking of the funeral, I just feel like we really rushed through that. Like, 1 minute, Shelby was getting ready to go trick-or-treating, and then the next, bam, sauce is boiling everywhere, and they're pulling the plug the next afternoon. I feel like the montage of the hospital room should have been, like, more of a montage. It really seems like it's, oh my god, we're there for one day, I read a magazine, bam, we're pulling the plug. So, that's my review of a movie from 1987, or 88, I don't really know when it was from. Oh, and last thing about that movie, like, that movie is so dated now. When you watch it, at least for me, I feel like I'm watching a play. Like, I feel like when I watch Steel Magnolias, I could easily be down at the community theater. And I wish that I had been cast in it. Who would I play in Steel Magnolias? Well, nobody, because there's no good boy parts. I would like to play, I think, I think I would be like the Dolly Part. No, of course, I would be Weeza. Weeza. I'd be Shirley MacLaine. That's totally who I would be. We should do a remake of that movie with all gay men. How about that? Okay, and I've got dibs on Weeza. So if anyone out there, I need to be cast as Weeza and then also booked on Queer Eye on Netflix. Great. All right, well, that's settled. Glad that's out of the way. All right, cool. Let's do this, you guys. Let's get right into it. Oh, just kidding. I have one more thing to talk about. What I've been up to. The other reason I didn't put out an episode last week is because right now I am fully obsessed with Big Brother. Don't judge me or go ahead. I don't care. But Big Brother is a stupid reality show on CBS. It's been on for like 20 fucking years and I've never watched it until this year. And they got me earlier in the winter when they had Celebrity Big Brother. And I mean, normally this show's like 14 strangers in a house to survive till the end. Whatever, who cares? But then they put celebrities in there. So of course I was fucking in it to win it. And that's how they got me. So I have been on a Big Brother bender because of course I'm watching this summer's season of Big Brother and I'm a crazy person and I'm going back and watching old seasons. And since the show's been on for 20 years, it has been hilarious to watch things from like 2005. 2006, you know, like just the technology, like to watch it slowly go from nothing to like send a text to like go on the website. Anyway, it's really funny. Nobody cares about that, but I do. And this show's all about me. All right, you guys, let's get into the chapter. Chapter 22. This one was a hard one for me. I'm going to talk a little bit about that afterwards. Because it made me think a little bit. So, stay tuned after the chapter. I'm gonna just fill you in on how that made me feel. And also, I'm gonna hang out with Brandon, my straight guy correspondent, who hasn't been on yet since season 2 started. And we are gonna hang out and we're not gonna talk about anything, even though I had like a whole list of questions about like, hey, have you had a three-way? What do you think about foreskins? I didn't get to any of that with Brandon, and we just fucking hang out and talk about nothing. So get ready for that. All right, here we go. Everyone, buckle up. It's gonna be a truthful ride. I'm Tommy Natoli, and this is Thomas Anonymous. Chapter 22. Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream? As a kid, I was so certain that when I grew up, I was going to be smart and make the right decisions. Yet every time I turned a corner in life, I was proving myself wrong. When I lived in New York, everyone always said the absolute worst thing you could do ever is move to Los Angeles with no experience, no job, no plan, no agent. Well, there I was, in LA with no experience, no job, no plan, and definitely no agent. Have I mentioned yet how great I am at listening? Thanks to my best friend Craigslist, I was living in North Hollywood renting a couch from a black lesbian couple in their studio loft apartment. Trust me, you could hear every slurp and squish in that apartment. Also, there were cats that pissed on my blankets all the time. Woo! I was on track. They had said in their ad online that they preferred a gay male to rent the couch. They were the first people I met that only knew me as Gay Tommy, which sounds weird, but it's a thing, trust me. At first I thought, oh, I'll just say I'm a gay guy because that's who they want to rent to. Then, as I was talking with them the day we met and we chatted, I realized, wait a minute, this isn't a lie. I actually am a gay guy. I don't know why I think I'm faking this. It really isn't a big deal. It all just kind of hit me at once how when you meet new people in life, they don't care when you say I'm gay because they don't know you. That's the premise you give them and they accept it without question or wanting a backstory. Oh, you're gay? Great. Anyway, back to this now. It was mind-blowing. I've described before that being in the closet is not just hiding the truth from people. It's mostly hiding from yourself and forces you to live as a breathing ball of denial. You are brainwashed into thinking what you feel isn't real. And at least for me, I felt like I could manipulate myself into what was most palatable and most desired by other people. What a loser. So to let all of that go and just accept the label of gay and have people I was meeting in life also accept that label without question or judgment was freaking awesome. I was a brand new person in a sprawling city alone, and not a soul knew me. For some, that may sound scary, but for me, it was the ingredients I needed to complete the recipe of me. This is when I first comfortably identified as gay to other people out loud for real. Strangers were always the best, but I also reached out to friends from New York and friends back home to kind of update everyone. Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I like dick. Hey, talk to you later! Still not saying anything to my dad or family back east. That was just a little bit too much and would need some time before it could happen. I had no intention on staying with my NoHo chocolate lesbians for long, but I couldn't get a goddamn job to save my life. So I did what anyone else with my experience that needed money would have done. I started cruising Craigslist for a sugar daddy. At first, I was just looking for some free meals, casual dates with desperate people from the internet. You know, integrity. My budget at the time allowed me to dine only at the 99-cent store and the famous dollar menu at McDonald's. I needed someone to help me out a little, but I didn't want to ask for a sugar daddy up front. I mean, that just seemed really trashy. Instead, I posted an ad looking for an LTR, long-term relationship. I needed somebody dumb, and at the time I thought anyone looking for one of those on Craigslist has to be an idiot. I still think that. That is when I found Dan the acting teacher, but we're gonna call him Meisner since that's what he was so fucking obsessed with. Meisner was in his late 30s and was mildly overweight. He worked for a production company that was started by some B-list 90s sitcom celebrity that he name-dropped in his first email. Ugh, Hollywood. Meisner was looking for an LTR and was really into younger guys, so it was a perfect match. Turns out, though, Meisner was bald, had pretty bad teeth, and was for sure packing some extra weight all in his belly. Whatever, free meal. As if all that wasn't enough, Meisner had wretched breath as well. Yum. But under all the nasty, he was a pretty nice guy. We went to a nice Italian restaurant, as well as some exotic food chains like El Pollo Loco. We went to see a play, he took me to the beach, and he always paid for everything. I can't even really remember what his personality was like because the whole time I was just acting interested. You would think as an acting teacher he would have picked up on my unconnectedness. Guess I'm just super talented. The only problem with this whole almost perfect situation was that I could never bring myself to do anything with him. What a rookie. I thought you went to Pretty Woman University. Get out of here! One night, he practically forced me into a makeout session in his car, and it was the worst ever. Not just the bad teeth and bad breath. Obviously, those were super disgusting. But he was just a bad kisser. Just really bad. And everyone knows that bad kissing is one of the worst conditions anyone could ever have. I spent about 3 weeks dating Meisner, and after a night of leg rubbing and reality TV, I broke up with him. I broke it off via email, and I'm glad I did because Meisner was very pissed off. He wrote me back a huge essay asking what people mean when they want to just be friends. Well, it means people don't want to hurt your feelings, but you make me nauseous. I don't want to touch you or be seen in public with you. You were under the impression we were seriously dating when I've just been using you for meals, so that's what I mean by I just want to be friends. I took the high road, though, and I didn't even respond to him, which is extremely rare for me to do, so you're very welcome, good sir. I realized the month was almost up, and I could not stay with my box-chowing roommates because they were raising the rent $100. For the couch! Welcome to Hollywood, asshole. I had wasted 3 weeks with Meisner and had nothing to show for it. I still had no job and shit was getting real. So, like any rational person, I started looking at posts on Craigslist to see if anyone would take sex for rent. Fact, they will. Let the record show that all of this was done without a smartphone. It was 2007, so only rich people had the first iPhones, and it was basically the olden days. When I was not at the apartment or somewhere that had a computer, I would call a friend and have them look online and check and send emails for me. Basically, I had free personal assistants, and it was pretty ghetto fabulous. Cruising Craigslist for places to live, I found this one guy named Gay Dog Boy. Pretty sure that's his legal name. Gay Dog Boy posted an ad saying he wanted someone to have sex with, but also wanted that person to live with him as his straight roommate. Wow, sounds totally screwed up. I'm in! Gay Dog Boy laid out a very specific plan that we would be roommates, essentially, because I would be paying only a quarter of the rent. And in return, it would be my job to make sure we act like straight bros, we watch the game together, and work out together. And then at night, we bro out even more with blowjobs and anal. Wow, okay, sure. There's blowjobs? Great, I'm still in. After a short chat session on AIM, Instant Messenger, it's more olden day stuff, look it up. I was driving over to his apartment on Sepulveda Boulevard. Quick side note. When I first moved here, I used to call it Spatula Boulevard because I couldn't say Sepulveda right. Me. Gay Dog Boy was a cute, super skinny, twinkie brunette who had a very nice, spacious apartment and a tiny, yapping dog. We had small talk of where we were from, went to school, blah blah bore. We were from the same state, but other than that, we had no connection and knew our circles otherwise never would have crossed. Then we got down to business. He said I would only have to pay $500 a month to live there with him. I lied about having a job and even made up some story about that week being so busy at work. I was selling it, he was buying it, it was happening. Yes! Before I knew it, we were in his bedroom, making out on his bed, tearing off clothes. This was some hot Craigslist action right here. I topped him without a condom for what felt like way too long. You know when you're fucking and you're like, oh my god, is there no end to this? It was that kind. After that, we curled up in bed and watched The Simpsons as we fell asleep. Now this is romance! Gay Dog Boy worked at some fashion magazine doing some fashion things. Gay, 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 gay. I don't know why he thought he was in the closet. Between the job and the dog, it was super clear that he was super gay. As we left the next morning, he told me to come back that night, and I left thinking I had sealed the deal. I returned that night, and it was a little bit different from the night before. That night, we were much more like roommates, just hanging out, watching TV, which was fine with me and part of his whole fantasy, so I figured everything was a go. Gay Dog Boy was so excited about watching the show Lost. And when I revealed that I didn't watch that show, I feel like my stock plummeted. Eventually, we went to bed and things got hot and heavy like the night before. Feeling more responsible this night, I went to go use a condom and he was so offended, as if I just tried to bring a girl in the room. Like, I couldn't believe how shocked he was. Like, it's just a condom, bruh. He just made a super sad, disappointed face at me, so I barebacked it. Hey, a man's gonna do what a man's gonna do. I gotta seal the deal. Needless to say, the next morning we parted ways, and despite the dozens of messages I left, I never heard from him again. I got ghosted! Me? It must have been the combination of me not watching Lost and wanting to use a condom. I know, I'm such a savage animal. I bet he wasn't even looking for a roommate and just wanted to play out some fantasy for a couple days. Either way, I learned the hard life lesson of don't fuck your roommate until you've moved in. Whatever the case was, I was still running out of money and had no job, and I was absolutely up Schitt's Creek without a shit paddle. Still on the prowl for a place to live for a discounted sex price, I got back on the Craigslist horse. It's like your parents always said, if at first you don't succeed, then keep fucking strangers from Craigslist. While still living in North Hollywood with no job and my money dwindling down to nothing, I found an older gentleman in Encino. He went to Harvard, was a lawyer, owned a big, beautiful house, and surprise, surprise, he was also kind of creepy. Harvard invited me over to his house where he was gonna cook dinner. I didn't know this man, he was a complete stranger from the internet, and there I was, knocking on his door, ready for my free meal and possible room to rent. Wink wink, rent. Harvard was in his late 40s and was wicked eccentric. After I'd been there for a few minutes, I knew something was weird. My intuition was like, hey, I think we should leave. And then I was like, shut up, intuition, I'm getting us a place to live! Of course, I ignored my powers and just kept gulping down red wine and was feeling very fuzzy. Super fuzzy. Wait a minute, what's in this wine? My stomach started to hurt pretty bad. Yay! Either I was getting a weak stomach or maybe getting Cosby'd? That's an inappropriate reference. Yeah, I know. Harvard was taking me on a tour of the house as things were moving in and out of blurred vision. There was a room for his mother, a vacant, empty room that looked like it hadn't been touched in years. Her 1947 headshot was on the dresser, and for a moment, I couldn't tell if she was dead or if it was actually 1947. The house tour ended in his bedroom, as all good house tours should. Apparently, I was going down on him. Ew, gross. Thanks, fuzzy stomach-hurting wine. I was so serious about living and staying in Los Angeles, so super serious that I was sucking a flaccid dick from Harvard. Look, Mom, I made it! Harvard didn't really like blowjobs. His true calling was being a bottom, so I topped the hell out of him, although it was pretty uncomfortable and kind of the worst sex ever. After we got through the ugly sex, we lay down on the bed and turned the lights off. As soon as the lights went off, like as soon as the lights went off, Harvard starts to snore and sleep right away. But he wasn't really sleeping. I may have been young, but I knew for sure when someone was fake sleeping. This guy was totally pretending to be asleep. But why? Not to mention it was the worst fake sleeping ever, like, this guy had never taken any kind of acting or improv class. I mean, God, talk about indicating and forcing the moment. I should have given him Meisner's number so he could take some classes. That's when my good old friend Intuition, who was like, hey, remember when we got here and I told you to leave? Yeah, I was fucking serious. Oh, great, now I have to figure out how to get out of this shady situation. Thanks a lot, me. I woke the fake sleeper and told him that I had to run out to my car and smoke a bowl. Priorities, right? I went to my car, sparked up a bowl, and contemplated my situation. He seems kind of murdery, but I need a place to live. Pros and cons are so hard. I realized I could just leave right then and there if I wasn't a burnout who left my bag inside. God damn it, Thomas Michael Brian Simon Natoli Anonymous! I looked up and noticed Harvard was watching me from a window this whole time, which sent a sub-zero chill down my spine, and I knew I had to get some balls and get the F out of there. I told myself to just run inside, grab the bag, and leave. I gave myself a 3-second countdown, and then I ran into the house, grabbed my bag, turned to run back, and bam! There was Harvard. His face looked like that of a concerned elementary school principal, and he was blocking my way. Without missing a beat, I threw my arms around him and gave him a hug and started to fake cry. Ooh, go girl! Yeah, you can fake sleep? Well, I can fake cry. Meisner technique, bitch. I told him that my sister just called with really bad news, and I just had to leave right now. I'm a liar. As I hugged him and spun my lies, I could feel my heart beating like some amateur DJ was in my chest spinning house music. Ew, house music. Harvard let me go, maybe because I said I'd just talk to someone on the phone, so if he did want to put me in his concrete patio out back, now there would at least be evidence leading someone to my buried corpse. He told me to call him like we were best girlfriends and to come back over soon, as if we had just braided each other's hair. Getting into my little Ford Focus never felt so good. Turning the engine on and punching it in reverse, I felt as if I'd just broken away from something awful. I started to drive and realized something important that I should have noticed before. I'm totally drunk. I didn't know where I was or how to get back to North Hollywood, so I drove 2 hours to my dad's house because it was literally the only place I could remember to get to. Yay, drunk people! I told myself I was so stupid and I made a pact that I'm never doing that shit again. The driving drunk part. The stranger danger I was totally cool with. Normal, rational people experiencing these unsavory encounters would probably realize at a certain point that it wasn't the best, most ethical way of finding a place to live. Lucky for me, I'm unstable, so I kept on trying to cut corners and score an awesome living situation. Me! Craigslist? Hi, it's me again. Just gonna browse and see what crazy people I can connect with. I found an ad from a guy in West Hollywood who was willing to let you live with him for free in exchange for sex. Oh, that sounds easy enough. Once again, much to my surprise, I was wrong. McD was a big 400 to 500 pound guy that had a passion for McDonald's, specifically the classic double cheeseburgers. I know that he loved those because it's something he wrote about in his ad. This guy sounds great. I love double cheeseburgers. At least I know I can outrun him if needed, unless he has a gun, but whatever, fingers crossed. McD was a big guy, and I mean fucking big dude. I drove to his condo in West Hollywood, and when he met me downstairs, I could not believe my eyes. Oh, my God, he was the biggest I've ever seen in real life, and he also had an amazing condo! Well, okay, in retrospect, it was decent, very nice, but at the time, I thought I'd hit the Craigslist jackpot. McD sat me down at the dining room table and kind of interviewed me, while also giving me the terms and conditions of our totally fucked up situation. He would expect not only sex, but also some light housekeeping. I would have my own bedroom, but would need to sleep in his bed once in a while upon his request. Okay, kinda demanding, but whatever. There would be no locks on any doors, and he would be allowed to come in my room and blow me anytime he felt like it. You lost me at no locks, but then sold me on blowing me anytime. He was clear that I was not to blow him unless it was a holiday or special occasion, in which case he would submit a formal request. Wow, does this guy want sex or to be an executive administrative assistant? I'm right on top of that, Rose. I mean, are we gonna draw up some contracts for this transaction? Or is Janice from Human Resources gonna take care of it? We didn't draw up papers and Janice never showed, but he did tell me to take out my private spot so that he could see if it was up to his standards. Jeez, this fucking guy. He told me to stand up and take my pants off, and like a trained hooker, I did just that. McD said, as he inspected my genitalia, that for an Italian guy, I wasn't super hung. I was nicely average, but he was hoping for a 10-inch Italian sausage. That's a quote. Ugh, why do you have to make everything about food, you fucking pig? You know, for a fat guy, he really was being a size queen, but whatever. I didn't really care because he was the one who was now sucking me off at the dining room table. Ha ha! After servicing me right in front of the open window that looked out onto the street, hi everyone! We eventually moved things into the bedroom. It was there that he brought out the poppers and started huffing that brown glass bottle like crazy. He wanted me to fuck his face, and not in like a sexual erotic way, more in a violent choke you to death way. He had me stand up, and for lack of a better description, fuck the living shit out of his face until he was almost choking dead. I mean, choking, blood vessels popping out of his forehead dead. I realized at this point, I was really building up my creepy hookup resume. After finishing what I for sure thought would become a crime scene, I knew that I could never, ever stay here with McD and his bedside oxygen tank. The best and most surprising part was at the end of all this ridiculousness, McD drove us to McDonald's and got us some double cheeseburgers. Because he's a gentleman, that's why. Before I left, I dined with him at the table I had just gotten blown at. I ate my one double cheeseburger and he ate his five. Doesn't seem fair to me that I wasn't offered five. I mean, I could have saved some and reheated them later, but whatever. Before I left, he told me that he was still interviewing, but he would let me know. Really? I didn't even book the job? Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream? What movie? Pretty Woman. Everyone knows that. Duh. God, keep up. I never followed up to see if I booked the gig. I'm a real LA actor, you guys! I was starting to face the fact that I might have to actually work for what I wanted and not just Pretty Woman my way to the top. Ew, work. Gross. The idea of real work killed my soul and made me feel so helpless. Work sucks, says the guy who was just auditioning to be a house sex servant. At a certain point, we all need to look in the mirror and get our shit together. I was looking into mine and realized that the things I was doing was not moving me forward, and if anything, were just turning life into a water tread. I needed to regroup and rethink and really needed to make some goddamn money. So, like a true, small hometown magnet, I made my way back to the mountains. Back to PM motherfucking C. I was over it, and I realized that I didn't need to do that anymore. Anonymous men and hooking up just for the sake of dumping a load or getting a free dinner. I was past it. It wasn't exciting for me anymore, and I knew it was easier to work for your own double cheeseburgers instead of getting fat guys in West Hollywood to buy them for you. I had taken the dysfunctional relationship I had with sex while in the closet, and I tried to keep doing it, but to my advantage. And I support sex workers. I think if that's what you really want to do, slay girl, slay. As much as I admired Vivian and Kit from Pretty Woman, I had to be honest with myself. Do I want to be a hooker, or do I really want to connect with people and maybe have something real? The time had come to retire and evolve and level up to the next part of life, so I hung up my Craigslist jersey and called it a day. And scene. Well, you did it. Chapter 22, Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream? I'm not really sure what my dream is anymore. I think my dream right now is to just be finished with this episode. And actually be finished with the next episode, too. Oh my god, we're so close to the end. I'm so excited. And yeah, maybe you're not, but I sure am. Because look, a year ago when I started this podcast, because we're coming up on a year, which is cool, I was using the podcast as a way to kind of finish this, you know, memoir that I'd started, and I didn't have an end to it, and I was like, you know, I'll do this podcast because I blah, 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 all my reasons why, and one of the many reasons was to kind of finish this project. So, I'm excited because I have a draft of the last chapter, and I have to work a lot on it, so the next episode probably won't be for another couple weeks, as usual. And, you know, that's what it is. But I'm really excited for it all to be coming to a close. And that chapter was, I don't know how much I've already said. I should really keep tabs of what I'm talking about because I feel like I'm repeating myself. But look, this chapter has a lot of shame in it. You know, like, I was nervous and a little embarrassed about putting this one out there because, like, unlike all my other, you know, wacky fun hookup stories, a lot of those were, you know, me being in the closet and, like, venturing out, you know, and having these anonymous encounters that were secretive. And this is different because I had accepted my sexuality. I knew what I was doing, and I was purposefully seeking people out to use them for things. So it's very much my hooker chapter. These are my prostitution years. But I mean, come on, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, when you look at real, I mean, hardcore prostitutes, sex workers, whatever. I mean, like, I'm like such small potatoes. Like, I'm like a D-list, F-list prostitute because I was just trying to get some free meals and maybe a place to sleep. So, you know, it is what it is. And that's one of those sayings I fucking hate. It is what it is at the end of the day. What's another one? It is what it is at the end of the day. Oh, and threw you under the bus. Those are my three least favorite phrases that are overtaking the nation. So yeah, that was it. That's all I wanted to say, was that there was some shame, there was some embarrassment. I was like, I feel gross putting this out there because then people are going to think. And then I realized, oh, I don't care what people think. I always have to stop myself at that point where you're like, yeah, but then people will think, that's right, I don't care. So go ahead and think what you want. Think I'm a dirty prostitute. Think I'm someone with no integrity. You can think that I'm super unethical. Go ahead. I don't care. Because that was 24-year-old Tommy. So if we're really gonna judge me on the things I did from the ages of 17 to 24, well then, go fuck yourself. I don't think any of us would leave our house if we were all judged on the things we did between 15 and 25. So go fuck your mother. As we say back in Massachusetts, go fuck your mother. So that's that. All right, so as promised, I have a little bit of Brandon. Brandon! And honestly, I have, and I'm going to save this for like another episode where I'm like out of content and have nothing to do, but I have like a 20 minute conversation with me and Brandon that's kind of like about nothing. It's really just him telling me about his night of doing shrooms and drugs and how some idiot acted like an idiot. Like, wow, great, wonderful. It's a great story. I love it. I love hanging out with Brandon, but there's no juice to it. You know, there's no, I don't know, good parts to it. So instead, I have about 7 minutes of me and Brandon, and I ask him fun questions like, hey, have you ever put anything in your butt? How about double blowjobs? You know, what's a double blowjob? Well, you're about to find out, because here's me and Brandon hanging out in my car. Me! Okay. Were you calling a cum whore? Sorry, we're live with Brandon talking about a cum whore that he... I don't know, what did you do with her?
I... here, does that help?
Yep.
I would bang her, and this was the girl, I called her Foxy Roxy. Her name was Roxanne. And, like, the first time I banged her, she did one of the old... She's like, oh my god, you've made me come like 23 times.
Oh my god.
So
wow.
She like wants. Here,
you know, oh yeah, my turn. Now.
She was just one of those people that like wanted to like reach that point and then reach it again and then reach it again and then reach it again. Like,
yeah.
We would be done. And she's like, I'm going to do a couple more, okay?
Oh
and
my
like,
god.
And would sit there and just rub out a couple more.
Wow.
And I was tired, so I was like, fucking, whatever.
Well, you're like, go for it, girl.
Do you, boo-boo.
And then you said there was a girl that made you, that watched you finish?
Oh, no, but that was just, that reminded me of how...
Oh, you reminded me of the cum girl.
I would just watch her finish more. Because she would just, like, find that spot, and then she was like, oh. And then she would, like, lay there for a second, and then, like, start again. I'm like, wow, like...
22... 23 times!
Literally, like a movie.
Wow.
Like a movie.
I wonder where she is today.
I was actually Mad Separation's ex-girlfriend's sister.
Did I already ask you about three-ways? Any three-ways?
No. No, never any three-ways.
Just the weird double blowjob situation that time?
What?
Wasn't there a double blowjob?
Whoa. You...
Maybe double blowjob is the wrong phrase.
I missed this episode.
No. This isn't my story. This is your story. No, there was a story where you got blown by a girl, and it wasn't Cousin Sean.
Oh, yes, you and me and Maverick.
Yeah, that was it.
Me and Maverick were laying down on the living room floor next to each other.
But it was, each had their own girl.
Each had our own girl, and they were like back to back. Like, their backs were against each other almost, and they were just sitting there.
This is a bed situation?
No, on the living room floor.
You're laying on the floor?
We're all leaving. Me and Maverick are laying on the floor, and we're getting domed up by these by our girls at the time.
Were you guys on drugs that day, or no?
No, but it always gets so weird when you're... When there's two... Like, it's always like... It always ends up a competition somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she would go super fast, and then I could hear Maverick like, can you do it like that?
Oh, right. Brandon got the girl who was good at giving head. He's like, he's looking over, hey, maybe you could take a page out of her book.
You want to, EOB, you want to swap? You want to try it out? Try it out for a second.
That would be your landlord's move. Hey, you want to switch out? Want to swappy whoppy?
$1,000 off.
$1,000 off. Yeah. God, shut up. I feel like I had other sex questions in here. Did you guys ever, have you ever tag teamed someone? Not like in a gangbang way. Oh. What? Oh, you're connected.
Oh, I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, you're connected to my car has you. Who is that? Oh. Maybe you should answer
it. About the, I don't know, he's, maybe I should answer it. No way.
Well. So back to tag teaming.
I've never ran a train or tag team, but I know people that have.
Well, yeah, I know there's that party with the girl, Jordan.
Jordan.
Oh, whoops. Didn't mean to say your name, Jordan. I hope you're not a listener. Well, if you are, thanks for listening. What's the oldest person you've had sex with? Like, what kind of MILF? What's the oldest?
I mean, the oldest was when I was the youngest. Not like, but like, when I was younger, I was able to pull older.
MILFs?
Than like now, yeah. I mean, I'd say...
Well, now you're getting to be in their age bracket, so they're
exactly.
Like, eh.
Exactly.
When you were young, did you ever sleep with a woman in her 40s?
No, I don't... No. The closest I got was, like, 36.
Oh, 36 is good for, like, what, 20? Or a teenager?
I was, like, 19, I think. I was at a rave, and I met her at a rave. And then I somehow was able to take her home, and...
Wow. And was she, like, an experienced woman? Yeah, my question in that whole story is like, what is this 37-year-old woman doing at a rave?
Looking for dick.
Looking for some young D.
Looking for the D and the D. Looking for both D's.
Did you ever try to suck your own dick? I mean, like, yeah, everyone does, right?
I mean, at some point you're just like, oh, that's too hard, you know? You don't like...
I just feel like I was so close, but so far.
I'm close. Are you? No.
I know. I know. I just remember thinking, like, my ribs are in my face, but nothing else is in my face. And then did you ever, like, stick your dick in anything weird? Like American Pie?
Oh. Ooh. That was...
You never fucked pie. A pie or...
No pie.
Any food? No, you fucked any food?
No food.
I tried to fuck a banana peel once, but it didn't work out.
No, Vaseline.
Vaseline in the banana peel?
No, like, I stuck my dick inside of a Vaseline.
Oh, wow. I like your style.
You know what I mean? Oh, though?
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the big old tub. The tub of Vaseline. Yeah. I never thought... I mean, yeah, I guess I've thought of it, but I never... Good for you. How was it?
I mean...
Did you pull out or did you finish inside of her?
I don't even think I fucked it. I think I just stuck it in and...
Yeah.
And then I was like, cool.
I put a pencil up my butt once. Oh my God. I didn't even, like, get it in my... I thought, I wonder if this could go in my butt. And I put the tip. Just the tip. It was just the tip.
Just the tip. Okay.
Have you ever fucked a girl in her butt? Mm-hmm. How many times? Who was it?
It was,
Was it barebacked? Was it a condom?
It was bare.
Did she want... Oh, my God. This is fresh news. Oh, my God.
It was bare. It was good. It was great. It was tight.
Butts are pretty tight.
It was slow.
It was good. It was tight. It was slow.
It was tight, slow.
Did she go, ow, ow? Or was she like...
No. It took us.
Did you request to do it, or did she... Was she like, yeah, put it in?
At first, she said no. She denied me for a while, actually.
And did you just do the old, like, oh, I accidentally hit the wrong hole. Want to try?
No, I might have just pulled the tip move.
Just put the tip in.
Just the tip in. And then I did that, and, like, was kind of able to work it a little more. And then... It was all right. And then, and then later down the line, I knew she wanted it again. She didn't say it, though, because, like...
Oh.
I don't know. Like, I pulled it out of the puss, and she just, like, backed her butt up. Like, she was, like...
And do that again.
It was.
She's like, remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that. Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I like just the tip. Oh no! Shit. Okay, great. Was that my last question? Let's see. Fucked a girl on her butt. Pencil in the butt. Sucked your own dick. Oldest person you've had sex with. Tag team. Double blowjob. Three ways. Yep. We covered it all.
Good to
do ya. Great. Nice to do ya. Get to do ya. And scene. Hey, thanks for listening to today's show. I want to thank Brandon for hanging out with me and letting me ask inappropriate questions and for always being game no matter how deep I go with my horribleness. So thanks, Brandon, and you can follow him. Oh shit. I don't know where you can follow him. I think you can follow him at DJ Sunny Sun. I don't know. Could I open Instagram and find out real quick? Do I have enough time? Could I ramble that much to fill the space? I probably could. I mean, that's not really that hard. But I'm having problems. Brandon. Okay, you can follow... Oh, wait, no. God damn it. You can follow Brandon on Instagram at DJSunny_Sun. I know, how could I forget? Because I hate the underscore. I can find me, and you can find me. We can all find me on Instagram at The Thomas Anonymous. You can find the show on Facebook at The Thomas Anonymous. You can find my personal private Facebook at Tommy Natoli. I'm also on Twitter at Tommy Natoli. We've talked about Twitter. Best of luck. It's not happening. Thanks so much for listening, and thank you to the music people, bensound.com and Majestic Color Craves by my side. And that's it, you guys. We will see you soon for the grand finale of Thomas Anonymous. Also, and this is really stupid, but I realized the one other thing that I think Steel Magnolias should have had in the movie. It wasn't the montage of the hospital scenes that was really... I realized what it was that bothered me. Shelby needs a death monologue. Shelby needs a deathbed monologue, because that's what's missing. We need to hear Shelby's final piece. You know that scene in the kitchen earlier on in the movie where it's like Christmas time and Shelby tells her mom that she's pregnant, and she tells her mama, you know, mama, I'd rather have 10 minutes of wonderful happiness than a lifetime of nothing. That needs to be her deathbed monologue. Okay, that's all. Okay, bye.